Blog Talk Radio.
Na na na, come on.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to the Unknown Radio Network. This is Terrify Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal, and And with me, as always, is Jody Parks. What's up, Jody?
Hey, I really like the change. Didn't it just make you want to, like, get freaky?
Oh, Lord.
Started a whole new mood for me, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been adding some new songs to the studio, so.
No complaints here.
There you go. So what you been up to?
You know, I've been kicking butt and I've been taking names. I've been like owning this week. I've got a lot of stuff already. Yeah. I've got a lot of stuff going. And just getting it all worked out, you know. Getting it all worked out, all the details and all the baloney. But it's getting worked out. It's going to be a good week. So what have you been up to?
Not too much. Getting ready. Not this weekend, but next weekend we're going to the 10-story sanatorium in Arkansas, so that should be a wild and crazy night. Just getting ready for a camping trip this weekend, so that should be a lot of fun.
That sounds camping. Like fun. I love camping.
Yeah, we're camping and riding four-wheelers all weekend, so should be a lot of
fun.
Nice.
Can't complain about that.
Yeah, there's a cemetery on the property we're going to be at, so I'm going to do a little investigating on top of that.
There you go. You going to be hunting anything other than ghosts?
You never know. There might be a Bigfoot out there, so we'll see what happens.
Or a chick.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be some of them out there, too.
You never know.
That's right.
Just break out with that song we just played. Tricky stuff could happen, man.
Oh, man.
No. Okay, on my end, it's chopping up really bad.
I'm chopping up?
Yeah, I'm having a bad connection myself.
Huh?
I have a really bad connection.
You sound clear. You sound clear on my end.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's just breaking up.
Huh. I hope I'm not sounding like, if you want to.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All righty. And while we're waiting on Jody to call back, just remember, East Texas Ghost Con 2013 is October 4th, 5th, and 6th in Marshall, Texas. You can go to www.easttexasghostcon2013.eventbrite, Brite spelled BRITE.com. You back.
Hello. God, that's so much better. That was pretty bad. So, okay, you and I talked off air, obviously, last night, and mm-hmm. you told me about Natalie's interview, and
yes.
I just wanted to talk about that for a second. So her interview went really well?
Yes, and for folks that are listening, if you'd like to listen to that, we had Natalie Poole on Sunday on Unknown Paranormal Radio, and you can check it out in archives. Here on Blog Talk. But, yeah, we talked about a lot of things and talked about what her and her group are working on, and they're remodeling their laboratory, and they're going to start working on studying the human body, coming up with some equipment to monitor the body, brainwaves, all kinds of stuff during paranormal experiences to see what the human body does. So that's going to be real interesting. I told her I'd stay in touch with her when, you know, when they get started on that, because I'm curious to see how that's going to work. And she really liked a lot of my ideas that I shared with her that I've talked about on this show. So she's going to try some of my ideas as well,
nice.
Which I think is really good. Yeah. So, yeah, we had a good chat. It was a really good show. Like I said, you can check it out on the archives and get a listen in there. And so, yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
And you got a trip coming up.
What? Oh, God. So I actually just got a phone call today about that trip. And they want me to come out for 10 days now. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. They have this whole spiel that not a spiel, but, you know, some things have been added to what they would like for me to do. So I think that we might push it back to the L.A. part of it to second weekend of June and third week of June. So I may be going then, but here's the great thing. I didn't think about this until, like, right before the show. Something I'm doing, I might be able to tell some of the other girls that we've interviewed from L.A. about. Because, I don't know, I'm going to be doing something for some reality show. And, I'm not quite sure all the details, but. So, some of the other girls that we've met, on our show, I'm going to let them know about it because they might be interested. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. That
but
is true.
I'd like to get together with them and take them ghost hunting as well because they were pretty freaking funny.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta get the booking. I don't have anything booked for next month, so I gotta get back on the booking.
I'm just going with the flow. I got a lot of plans that, I haven't really put out there yet, but they'll come out when they come out. It's been really, I'm in no rush. Taking it one step at a time. Baby steps.
Baby steps, huh?
Yeah.
And while we have the chance, Kathy Nance is going to be calling in here shortly. And Kathy is, her group is Woodlands Paranormal out of Houston, Texas. A very good friend of mine. And she'll be at my conference in October as well. So Kathy's a cool chick. Got a lot of experience in the paranormal and seen a lot of craziness, a lot of dark stuff. So she's actually got team members in Houston and also got another branch of her team in Oklahoma. So she's got.
Does she know
Dee? Yes. Dee and Kathy were on a team together for a good while.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and she's also got her team's got a lot of broad. She's got a priest that's part of her team. She's got a reverend. She has a girl that has a degree in psychology that can do psychological evaluations on people. So,
nice.
Yeah, and she's working on a project. I talked to her a little bit in Jefferson. We're going to talk about that as well. She's doing a documentary on a missing persons case, and it's real interesting. So,
huh.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it. Everything.
Oh, yeah. definitely another strong woman in the paranormal.
I love them. More power to each one of them, you know?
That is right. That is right.
Mm-hmm. And I think all the men should, rally up around those girls and give them more power than they already got. Hold them back.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm going to zap her a message just to touch base, make sure she's going to be calling in here. I'm going to make sure I gave her the right number because sometimes
you screw up.
Huh?
Are you human? Do you make
mistakes? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did have a listener that was listening that was in the chat room, and then they disappeared, so I guess they didn't like our talk, but that's okay.
You know, we're not that exciting at the moment.
Right?
Well,
Terrify has a birthday coming up next month.
Yeah, a couple of them, right?
The Unknown Radio Network and Terrify basically share a birthday because when I added you guys, that's when I shifted it to the Unknown Radio Network because I actually had two shows.
Mm-hmm.
So Unknown Radio Network is a year old and Terrify Radio will be a year old next month.
Wow. What are we
crazy,
gonna do?
Huh?
We should get drunk on air because for the hell of it. It should be like a party.
Well, probably what I'm going to do is kind of like, remember that special broadcast we did with members from each show? Is one of those Tuesdays I'm going to try to get as many of the other radio show hosts to come on air with us. And we just laugh and have a good time that night.
We should play a drinking game.
Oh, Lord.
All right,
well, we have our guest, so I'm going to put her on air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, how
are
you?
Hi. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Tired. All the time tired. But doing good. Busy, busy, busy. Today was an audio review day, so I caught up on all my audio.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's the worst part, isn't it?
Yes, it's the most painful. I feel like my brain's going to explode from listening to different sounds and replaying things over and over and, all of that. I know you know.
Yeah, I do it while I'm cleaning, and then I have a little pad of paper, and I'll sit there and rewind it and rewind it and rewind it, a gazillion times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think to myself every time, this is my least favorite part of being a ghost hunter, is listening to the audio.
Yeah, the audio is painful.
But when you come across that creepiness and you know it was nobody, you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
you know?
So it's like the best evidence, other than photo. Well, no, I take that back. I love photos and video. But audio, there's something about audio, especially when you know that there was nobody else in the room or around. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Kathy, You're always a busy woman. Every time I talk to you, always got something going on.
Yes. Always. Always.
How
well, let's see. Between investigations.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just doing investigations all the time and trying to throw in personal interests and other things in between.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's life. That's life.
Yeah.
Are you still working on the documentary?
Absolutely. And it's mind-boggling how much work that it is. Mind-boggling. So do you know very much about it?
Just a little bit. I talked to you a little bit at Jefferson, but I don't know too much about it.
Okay. Well, pretty much, it's about a girl who has gone missing, and she disappeared without a trace. She's been gone 3 years. And two Fridays ago was her third year anniversary for being missing. And so I've known the family now for 15 years, and so I've been taking classes to try to get better at doing video for the group and stuff and photography classes. And so one of the things that they teach you when you're going through these things is to film what you know. You know, I know the paranormal, and, you know, I know other things, too. And so it's like, okay, well, I know this. She's a friend of mine. You know, I knew the girl that went missing. So I approached her, and I said, hey, you know, if you would like, I can do a project with you on this. And she agreed. You know, it took her time because she wasn't ready to do it, but about a couple months ago, we started collaborating on how we were going to do this. And paperwork's done, filming is already underway and everything. But the other day, it was last night. Time is kind of like weird for me right now because of all the audio review and everything. So it's like, I think it was last night, wasn't it, that the girls were found that had been missing for 10 years? Yeah, so she posted, you know, that's the best Mother's Day present that she's had in a long time. So, because it gives her hope that her daughter could potentially be found. But she literally went missing without a trace. And it was a girl she used to text 5,000, 7,000 text messages a month. She had a job, a new job, and she loved it. Her softball team was doing really well, and it looked like they were going to make it to the state championships. Her friend had a birthday party coming up, and they were planning that. And she was really good at art, and she had everything going for her, and there was nothing missing. No money missing, no makeup, no change of clothes, anything. But the police automatically listed her as a runaway because she's 16. And she, you know, like my daughter, what you do when you're 16, you usually wear heavy eyeliner and stuff. And so, you know, police just automatically assume she's a runaway because nobody saw her being abducted or anything. But, sad story. But that's currently what I'm working on.
Is the family having any paranormal activity or anything? Or is it just a documentary about her missing?
It's a documentary about her missing. Okay. There's a little bit of paranormal stuff that I'm mixing in because one of the aspects of her case is as soon as she went missing, psychics came out of the woodwork approaching her, trying to tell her where her daughter was. And, of course, everybody is so all over the place. They weren't, like, all honing in on anything specific.
Yeah.
And some people were demanding money from her to tell her where her daughter was. So that's one kind of aspect. And then paranormal groups, you know, that happened to know her, contacted her, and wanted to do EVP sessions in her bedroom. There was no way I was going to call her on the phone and say, hey, can I please come over and do an EVP session in your daughter's bedroom? No, I would not have ever asked her to do that because that's falling under the premise that she's passed away and the mother is looking for a live daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, and what?
So I haven't seen the news because I haven't even watched TV, like, probably in 2 days or surfed the net. I've been really busy. So I didn't even hear about these two girls being found. What was that about?
Three girls, yeah. Well, pretty much the news with that is there was a man walking by a house in Cleveland, and he heard a commotion in the house. He thought it was, you know, like fighting between husband and wife or something. And this woman is screaming, trying to get out of the house. And he decided to go up and see what was going on, and she was screaming for help. So he kicked the door in. And she comes out yelling, hey, this is who I am, and, you know, I've been kidnapped. And so pretty much this house, the guy that owned the house was holding and had kidnapped three females. And they had all been kidnapped, and they had all been missing for approximately 10 years. They were all kidnapped at different times. And one of the girls had a baby. And so late last night, the news was that they arrested two brothers also that were of that man. So I don't know, because I haven't paid any attention to the news today because I've been too busy. And I haven't watched TV really, almost 2 years, I suppose. I can't watch TV.
I know. It gets like, I don't know. I have a hard time. I'll lay in bed and watch like Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Before I go to bed. Like, I don't know. I just want to watch commercials. I don't know.
Right. It's funny when people ask paranormal people, hey, so what all do you watch? And in the paranormal, I'm like, what are you talking about? I do the paranormal on a daily basis. There's no way I'm turning on TV and watching it.
Right. Yeah, I don't watch any of the shows.
Yeah. I'm too busy doing it to turn it on, you know?
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, with my DVR and when I do have downtime, I watch all the shows because I like to just see if there's any new technology being used. That's about all I use it for.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So was there any new technology being used?
Probably not.
Well, Martin and I were talking about it Sunday on our show with our guest. I don't want to get a hold of one of those Xbox Kinects. Because Bill Chappell used one on an investigation and had it where it came into his computer. And with all those, you know, because it puts out hundreds of thousands of, you know, like a laser grid, but even more detail. And
right. It just went bingo in my head where you're going with that. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
So any motion in the room would set it off, right?
Yes. Well, he had it where it, in the program he had, it would actually, you know, kind of like connect the dots. It would connect the dots and make a figure, right?
How cool.
And, you know, of course, I don't know how valid it is. Of course, I wouldn't think Bill would be involved in any kind of, you know, faking or whatnot. But
right.
They were in a location, and a chair started moving, and then the Kinect was picking up something, and it connected the dot, and it was a figure. And Nick Groff said, hey, will you wave at us? And I'd be damned if that figure did not wave.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of that, but how is he I wonder how he's connecting it up to the program.
Me and Mark were talking about it. We're gonna figure that one out. But you know what's weird? We were talking about this the other night about how humans, you know, us as paranormal investigators, and even clients, you know, because I know you deal with clients on a regular basis like we do.
Yeah.
And how they can influence the environment, actually even manifest activity. Martin I don't know how the whole story of how he got close to this, but he was about 50 feet away from a guy that was in a shootout with cops in Greenville, and he happened to have his EVP recorder going, right? And when the guy got shot, he didn't die, but when the guy got shot, Martin went home and was listening to it, and he got an EVP, because there was nobody else around. He got an EVP of the guy saying, because it was a kidnapping or something, and he said, I took her. Well, then Martin was like, okay, wonder, you know, after he was shot, did he die? So he looked it up, and then sure enough, the guy was in critical condition at the hospital.
Okay.
So how in the hell did he pick up an EVP, you know, after this guy was shot? Did he have an out-of-body experience?
Right,
you know?
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's deep, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that other people would maybe, they might even say something like, could he have been projecting a thought, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. How neat.
Yeah. And,
amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I'm telling you what, I told you back in Jefferson, I was working with this client of mine that you actually went and visited her. And Dee's been talking to her for like 2 years. Well, I've been on this case, and it's been a constant battle. I brought in Lee Triana Brown, and she's been helping me. And, It's a crazy case. We get her cleared, and something will happen, right? It's hard to explain, but something happens, and more spirits come into her.
Right.
So
right.
She
claimed that, you know, she could see spirits, and she could just be walking down the street, and she could see spirits attached to people, and they would jump off of them and run into her.
Yeah, she's got an ability, and you know, so it's like when we clear, she's still got the. We're working on trying to close her up, right? And her aura and everything around her close her up, because every time we clear, even Richard, we got Richard involved at one point to try a different way, right? And he did his clearing and got her completely cleared. You know, she was like crying on the phone with me. She was so happy. And then 3 days later, bam. You know?
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah, this is long road battle.
She may always have that happen to her. And that's some of the counseling that we do with people. I mean, some people are just very open, and no matter what you do or say, there's no amount of investigating, because it's always going to come back. So I just think that they're, like, open. She needs to, like, one of the things I would have talked to her about would be to tell her to come to terms with, you know, how open maybe she's supposed to be doing something with this gift. And maybe she's being afflicted by it because she's not fully coming into whatever it is she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, we talked to her about that.
Exactly what you're saying. I have a son that's been seen since he was 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave up on, like, I'll cleanse my house about once a year because it just seems like, you know, a year after I haven't done it, like, just activity will start happening like crazy between him and I. And so I'll do a cleansing, and he knows what's going on. I've been doing it like that with him for about 6 years. But it's like I at one point just gave up and just said, dude, like, you're just going to have to accept the fact that no matter what we do, like, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so just either ignore it if you don't want to deal with it and you're doing something, or react because you're freaked out, you know? Or just say, what do you want? You know what I mean? What do you want?
Right. Does he see them? Does he see them and speak to them?
Yeah, and he can hear them too.
Wow. Is his experience on an intelligent level where he's communicating back and forth and they can respond to what he's saying?
No, he does not want to communicate with them in the house, in our house.
Okay.
We have like a rule that we just ignore it.
Right.
But if it's like so like one night we had like, it literally sounded like something was tapping on the wall over and over, like their nails. And I was listening to it for like 5 minutes, and I was like, Jesus Christ. So I went and got him, and I was like, come to my office. I was like, tell me what you hear. And he walked right up to the wall and started tapping his fingers on the wall and said, it sounds like something's tapping on the wall. And he did it for like another 5 minutes. But I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He just, he accepts it, you know. He didn't
right.
when he was younger. He was very frightened of it.
Right.
But he,
well,
you know.
What I found with people like your son is it's a gift that not everybody
exactly.
has.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually rare. It's not really that frequent, you know. I mean, I've come into contact with a lot of people that have had it, but I'm general population-wise, I don't think it's really all that common. So
mm-hmm.
it's something probably happened to your son. I don't know if he had a near-death experience, if he was sick when
no.
he was a baby or
no.
anything like that, or he just,
it's
you know, inherited this.
That I think it's hereditary in my family.
Okay.
Because after I, you know, started dealing with him, then my grandma started talking to me about stuff. Then my mom started talking to me about stuff. And I started finding out that, like, you know, a lot of the kids in my family see spirits. And then, like, my grandmother was psychic. My grandmother's brother saw ghosts and you know, heard them and saw them his whole life till the day he died. And so, you know, it's you know, all goes back to, I believe, like, you know, the person, if they're open to it. Today I went to go pick up my daughter from daycare and, well, preschool. And she's a big girl, 4. And
right.
so the lady that runs the place, she was like, Jody, you've got to talk to this little boy. And he was just busted out today telling us about the ghost that he talks to in his closet. And then he started telling Haley about it, my daughter. And then Haley was telling him about her experiences that she had in our house. And
right.
they were having a big conversation about the ghosts at each other's houses.
Right.
And so she's like, you've got to talk to this little boy. And so I sat down with him, and he was, like, telling me, like, I would go to bed at night, and there's, like, all this noise in my closet, and, you know, sometimes I'm scared, and sometimes I just talk to it, and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, so I wrote down my number and gave it to her and told her, you know, to have her mom call, have his mom call me because, you know, he could possibly have a gift or the house is haunted. And it's not something that will stay with them. But if it does, she needs to make sure she's on top of that with him.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope she calls you. She definitely needs your help.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it just helps to have somebody kind of guide you in the way of, if you're going to have a child like this, you do have to, they're special. You have to help guide them. You have to be there for them. And you, as a parent, like, be open.
Right.
You know, to what they're saying. You know, Nathan went through a period where he thought he was schizophrenic.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, because of the talking, the voices, Yeah.
And then, you know, the schools will just want to put kids like this on drugs, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think mental illness is really when you break down and you cannot conduct you can't live normal, you know? I have some mental illness in my family, so I'm really aware of, you know, normal versus not normal. But, yeah, I mean, hearing voices can be normal if you're gifted. And, yeah, science really doesn't really address that. It bothers me really bad.
You know what? Science and paranormal investigators don't come together at all, in my opinion. Like, yeah, we have all our toys and all that, but why is it we don't have a real explanation? We just have experiences. We have people who have near-death experiences telling us about the other side and what they experience.
Right.
Which is where we, you know, really get that other level of understanding, but we haven't broken through,
right?
You know, to completely understanding, and it's fucked.
Right. Well, I don't think science really wants to explain it. You know, not long ago there was a doctor, I forget his name, but he didn't believe in God, or he didn't believe in life after death, or anything. He was like so scientifically minded that, you know, it's we die, we die. And anyway, he had a near-death experience where he was on the other side, and it was a very beautiful experience, and he knows that it wasn't a neural shutdown. He knows it wasn't his tubes and everything shutting down and him going through that process. He knows that he was on the other side. So, you know, when you have an experience like that, you almost, no matter what you say, you're not going to explain it to a non-believer and them go, oh, I believe you. So
yeah,
it's really frustrating for him. But, yeah, I was just talking with somebody last night.
And you sound crazy. You sound crazy when you talk about this, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
Okay, I've had a near-death experience, and so did my sister. And,
wow.
You know, it's like, you seriously, what it is you're basically just bodiless. But you are still intact, but you're like, it's just like all black and white, and you're just free-flowing. You are free-flowing. It's just like freedom of the body,
Right.
That's weighing you, like, down, gravity, you know? And then, like, when you die, that it does go on. There is another place. There is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I also have had a few near-death experiences myself, all at the age of 3. 3 was like a time for me. I suppose I was getting into too much stuff and causing trouble for my mom, but I also had one, so I understand the bodilessness and feeling of peace. And but I don't know if that is why I have always been more sensitive, and I've seen a lot of things. I'm not a medium. I don't have spirits walk up and talk to me, and I can communicate with them. It's not an intelligent conversation back and forth. I wish, because if I had that gift, I would be so much more effective as a paranormal investigator. But, you know, I think everybody's got their place and stuff, but I know things. I know things. I don't call myself psychic, and I'm also empathic. And that was very helpful for my original career in life, you know. I do think also that everybody has a certain level of ability, you know, that we're naturally born with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people call it gut instinct, but, some people are more gifted than others, but your son's very gifted, you know. I'm interested in what kind of gifts you have, Jody, with having that near-death experience.
Okay, yeah, like you, I know things that I shouldn't know.
Okay,
like, you know, take for instance, say I'll be driving somewhere, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's really strong, 10 o'clock in the morning. And a name will just pop in my head, like just an unusual name or something, you know. 2 hours later, I'll meet that person. I'll be like, what the hell, you know. And, you know, so it's like dots, you know, connecting dots at that point. But I'd say the strongest thing that I do, which freaks me out, is dreaming.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Things will come to me in dreams, and I'll wake up, and I'll be like, holy shit, and I'll call a person and be like, all right. So I, you know, just had a dream, and this is what happened, and they'll be like, dude, how did, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know, the message I got is this, goddamn it, you know, and, you know, you know, and I can also, like, you know, and I think everybody, you know, even Kevin, like, you know, when you actually start hunting the dead, and you try to become, you know, open to it, I think it opens all of us to things that we kind of use while we investigate. Like, I can definitely feel the environment change.
Oh, I can too. Yeah.
And when something comes in, I could feel like, is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it mad? Is it angry? You know?
Yeah.
I know. I know for me, being around Mike for the last several years and learning from him, and the amount of cases that we do with, you know, it's either an aggressive, angry human spirit or it's a human. I don't know. My gift, I guess you could say in a way, is my body's in tune with, that kind of sounds bad, but kind of in tune with the negative. I can always pick off negative energy real quick. It's like a stench to me. You know, my stomach goes into knots and I know something's up, right? You know, and I guess from my experiences and some of the darker stuff that we have done and listening to Mike, that's like when my radar goes off, I know something is really, really bad in the house, you know. And like you, Jody, and Kathy, you know, you can be in a location and everything feels okay, and then all of a sudden everything shifts, and the energy shifts, and you're like, uh-oh, you know, something's up, something's about to go down.
I've had that happen many times.
It's creepy when it's like really strong and then something happens to somebody and you're like, man, I freaking felt that, you know. It helps you get better, in my opinion, as an investigator. So then next time you're going to pay attention to that feeling that you got, and if you ever get it, you know to, you know, say word out to your team. Like, you guys, I've got a bad feeling. Does anybody else feel that? You know, make it aware quick. So it's like you either back off or proceed with caution, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel bad for teams that are so young and that don't have any experienced investigators on it, like a group of kids that just decides to go ghost hunting for fun. You know, and maybe they're really, they have good intentions and stuff, but they can get themselves into a pickle, you know, going out.
Yeah, you do. I have a friend that's dealing with a case just like that where, you know, a bunch of kids were farting around and now they, you know, they all are having like crazy stuff happening to them. And so she's been helping them deal with that. But,
so they had to take some of this stuff home. It followed them home. Right?
Oh, yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I have stuff following me home, too. I think we all do.
I think I'm collecting them. We have rules here. We have rules. You can mess around all you want, you know, but don't mess with my little ones. Don't mess with them. Like, that's where I'll draw the line. But then sometimes it's just mad crazy. Like, it kind of creeps me out. Do you ever Skype with people?
I have. It's been a long time since I Skyped. But, yeah, I have Skyped with people.
Okay, well, when I Skype, like, people will hear a guy answering their questions. And also, what sounds like an airplane going off in my room, my office, and then like a shadow person that will walk up in the back of my chair, and the person on the camera, I'll see him like fly up and be like, "Oh my God!" And then the Skype will like go down, and I'm like, "What the hell just happened? Did they just have a paranormal experience over there?" You know, and then they'll call me right back and be like, "Dude, a freaking shadow, black shadow person walked up to the back of your computer chair from your door," and I'm like, "Who?
Yeah.
Oh, it happened in my house. Great."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have shadow people in my house, too. Sometimes, for the last 3 months, it's been almost nonstop. And it kind of gets annoying because I'll be doing something, and it'll, instead of just it being a peripheral thing, it'll cross and right in front of me. I'm like, wow, they're kind of getting a little bit blatant that way.
I've never seen it in my house. I don't think I will go with maybe one time I saw one. I'm not quite sure. And if it was one, it was in child size. And I saw it run past a window, like a head. And I was like, it was blacker than the black, you know?
Right.
And across the window. And then it just like faded in with the dark when it passed. But I was just like, what, you know, I wasn't sure if my eyes were playing tricks on me, but I've never seen a man or, you know, adult size shadow person.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I saw that walked across my in front of me wasn't blacker than black, where it blacked everything out. It was more gray, almost. How do I describe this? Like the movie Predator, where you're seeing a shifting of light, and it was gray, but you could see through it. But it had no form other than you could tell that it was, you know, about so tall. I don't know. I bet you it was probably maybe 4.5 to 5 feet tall, somewhere in that range.
Could it have been an alien?
I don't know. I don't know. It's possible that it might not have even been what I'm calling a shadow person, because I know shadow people are usually black. But but yeah, they're in my house now all the time, and for the last about three months now. So all the time.
So I've been going to these MUFON meetings for UFO stuff, and I listened to a story about ant people. Have you heard about the ant people?
I don't think I've heard of the ant people yet.
Oh, my God. This guy was talking. I mean, there's actually planets better named. And that people are saying that, like, you know, I'm just getting into it, so I'm learning all the lingo. So I don't know the planets yet, but they're saying that are taking people. But apparently there are different types of creatures. Kevin, did you know this stuff?
No.
Okay, yes. I learned this last week. There's different types of creatures. There's the ant people, and they're actually good guys. So if you ever come across an ant person walking in your kitchen, he's actually a good guy. Now, I don't know about your 4 foot gray guy.
Well, what do these ant people look like? Ants?
They look like ants, but they stand on their, you know, back legs, and they stand straight up, but they're very, very tall.
And they're solid?
Yeah, they're in ant form, and they come and they take people to other planets, and there's a place where they drop people off, and they like bread. They like bread. So if you ever know that you're going there, take your bread. Make sure you got plenty of bread in your kitchen.
Okay. I know how to make bread, too.
Well, some of these ant people need to come over here and tell their cousins, the red ants, to quit making mounds in my yard.
Yeah.
Well, there's also worm people.
And
they're worms, yeah. They're just like huge worms.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm learning about the creatures, the alien creatures that people are describing that they are seeing on other planets.
Well, okay, so did you hear about a creature that sounds like what I'm calling a shadow person?
No.
Okay.
But I will ask about that, because this man is very informed. They are finding other people on the internet that are saying the same thing and naming the same planets. Like, no joke. And describing, and I told them in the meeting, I was like, you know, like, I go, I raised my hand. I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, an average person that's hearing about you talking about ant people is just going to say you're freaking crazy. But I'm going to buy this right now because on another documentary, on another case, I heard of the man describing the same thing. When they got, it was him, his mother, his grandmother, and his brother. They were driving, and they pulled off the road because they saw a spaceship, and they were all taken up into it, and the ant people were there to greet him first, and they took him in to where they did the experiments on him.
Wow.
And, like, you know, so I had just watched this, and so, yeah, it's actually something that, like, I guess is, you know, something that's being said.
Right.
So who knows, you know, because the shadow person, I mean.
We don't even know what shadow people are. I mean,
I know,
there are
many
different ideas. Other dimensional, interdimensional people, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know. And here, you know, maybe paranormal people are looking at the shadow people as more, you know, like ghosts, more similar to ghosts, but they could be more similar to aliens, you know. And then I've heard people also talk about that we're like living in the Matrix, sort of like. And so it's almost like we're a computer simulation or something. And so the shadow people are really, like, you know, from the other side, from the reality, and they're just coming and checking. Some people call them the watchers. There's all different kinds of terms, and it's really interesting and fascinating to me. I would really like to, you know, understand it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people that have been abducted, they describe a black shadow figure appeared in their bed, a bedroom, standing over their bed. They woke up. And that's how they woke up.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
so, you know.
There's also ties between alien abductions and demonic-type cases. The experiences that people, a lot of people that have during an abduction also are the same kind of things that people that are dealing with these kind of paranormal cases are going through. So it's kind of interesting how those kind of have similarities as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
I need some sketching. This guy needs this. We need to find a sketcher, and he needs to have it, like, he needs to have these creatures drawn. You know?
Yeah. Do you know anybody that does sketching?
I might be able to actually find somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, these meetings are interesting as a paranormal investigator to actually walk in over there and, you know, just hear their stories and how, you know, they kind of cross in some ways. Like, people describe, aliens as, you know, on a demonic level. Some people do. Feel that
right. Now, I had a really weird experience that I always put up there as a dream, but it's a really odd dream for a 3-year-old to have. And I was sleeping in my bed, and I woke up to these little things that weren't really much taller than my bed, and they got me out of bed and were carrying me out of the room. And I viewed these little things like they were pirates, but they were really weird looking. And I wasn't really scared. I don't know why I wasn't scared, but I wasn't. But I still remember that dream. And from the moment that I left my room, I have no memory of it after that. But my mom remembers me talking about it, too. And what I remember them looking like, they didn't look anything like pirates, but my 3-year-old mind put them as pirates. And then I had reoccurring dreams of, like, being in something where I was flying around, and I was always afraid of crashing because I was too far up. So I had that experience, which is weird. But I don't know if it was an experience or just a dream, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was little. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also seen UFO a couple of times in my life. Once I was a teenager and I was in Ohio, the Ohio Valley, and there's like mountains surrounding us, and there was a plane. Mm-hmm. My dad was FAA, so I'm used to looking up at the sky and looking at planes, and this plane, you know, was coming, and you could see it, and then it stopped, and it was hovering and hovering and hovering, and then it darted straight up, and it stopped. And it hovered in that position for, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then it darted off and sped across the sky. And I don't know any plane that's capable of doing that. So,
yeah.
And I was with two other girls when we saw that. And then I was in Oklahoma, and I was standing across the street talking to a neighbor. And there was this low-flying thing that was coming, and I'm paying attention to it and talking to her and kept looking at it. But it was so low and so bright. And I was afraid that it was like a plane going to crash, but it never came down to the ground to crash, but it was very bright. Then I had some people tell me that it had to be a, I forget the terminology, but it's something, an iridium flare or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is what they said that they thought that it was. But there's no way. It was low. It was very bright. It was almost like having a star floating right over the top of you. I didn't see windows or anything like that. I couldn't make out anything. It was just like having a star, like, right there.
Yeah.
And it interrupted our conversation, and we're looking at that and talking about it. And so I did get onto the website and report it as something that I saw. And I thought, surely there's other people that have seen that too. You know, it was flying for a long time. But I've always wanted to go to a MUFON meeting. I think it would be fun.
You know what? I think you should, because seriously, it's been... You know, it never hurts to continue education with everything that's unknown, because it could be all tied together.
Right.
You know? Like, somehow it could all be connected, so we really should, like, know as much as possible. But it just seems like, you know, for me personally, like, just continuously over time, just UFOology just keeps coming in my path and coming in my path and coming in my path, just opportunities. And for the longest time, I just pushed them away and said, no, I'm not interested in that. No, I'm not, you know. And but then finally it was like, you know what, this keeps popping up. So obviously, you know, I need to just kind of pay attention. And so, you know, yeah, you should, like, find your local they meet like a couple times a month, and they're you know, it's really interesting to observe them and listen to their stories. And, you know, truth be told, like, the average person will think these people are crazy,
but then they feel that way about the paranormal too.
Exactly. So, I mean, you obviously have to have an open mind, but it is interesting to hear their stories and how they connect with things we see at on location, like shadow people, and how at a certain like the Axe Murder House, we had Johnny Hauser on almost a year ago, and he was talking about one of the guys that they think that is the murderer, and how he first he lived in another city, and he tells this story about how a shadow person came to him and told him to burn this building down. So he did, and then he bailed the city and left. And then he ended up in Iowa, and he lived across the street from the Axe Murder House, and he was a minister. And he confessed to the murders of all of this stuff. And he told his story that a shadow person came to him, told him to go hide in the house, where to hide, what to do. He went and he performed everything. And but then when it came time to sign it, he refused to sign the confession.
I remember that guy.
Then he said he was pleaded, what, insanity?
Yeah.
So he went to a mental hospital for the rest of his life. And but it's interesting how a shadow person came to him and made him do this. It's like, you know, no message, just go and do this, you know?
Have you ever been in Villisca?
No, I have not.
Okay, that Villisca is one of those places that I've been in that I walked in the door at night, and you could just feel the shift of energy from the outside to the inside. It was like immediate. It was so thick, it felt like you could cut it with a knife. And,
yeah.
You know, the hairs on my body were reacting to the environment, and I was constantly fighting with my my instincts while I was in there. And, you know, because I've been all over, and I'm not afraid of anything, pretty much. So,
right.
You know, I'm having to tell my body to not be afraid, you know. So, but it was really an interesting place. You need to go sometime.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Farrar?
No, I have not been there yet.
That's about, I think, about an hour and a half away from that in Iowa. It's Maxwell.
Okay.
That place is so jacked up.
Really?
Iowa is crazy. Also,
yeah.
Edinburgh in Iowa.
Mhm.
Yeah, that place is crazy too.
Yeah.
Edinburgh and Maine.
Yeah, there are some crazy places. And you go all over, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
I
love it.
I love it.
You know what?
I
think that, like, I was thinking to myself, I need to, I want to do a big trip where I go overseas and, like, do something, go somewhere amazing, you know?
Yeah. And I bet when you plan trips, I bet they're all paranormal related.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Uh-huh. I am too. my family members.
Literally, why go? You know?
I know. My family that aren't in the paranormal look at me like I'm crazy. Like, why are you planning just paranormal trips? It's fun. You know?
Okay,
so,
you're going to bring something home. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Happy. You're going to get to death.
I'm like,
well, if I get to death, Mom, somebody better film it, okay?
Yes, I say that same thing too.
I'm like,
Mike and Dean went to Scotland and Ireland last year, and they went to the Edinburgh Vaults. And Mike has hours on hours of recordings from the Edinburgh Vaults they hadn't reviewed, and he gave them all to me. And I was like, well, shit, I'll check it out, you know. I may not be in Edinburgh Vaults, but I dang sure will review the evidence from there.
Right. So did you review it yet?
No, I haven't done it yet, but
wow, that would be fun.
I definitely have an intention of doing it.
Yeah, that would be fun. You could even do that as a paranormal party.
There you go.
Yep. Invite some people over. Anybody want to come review Edinburgh evidence? I could go over for that.
Right?
You make dinner and supply alcohol?
Yeah, that's right. I'll be there. I'll listen to some more audio.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when we were talking earlier about the younger teens out there, you know, anybody that is new to paranormal, I always tell them, you know, stay away from doing residential cases for a while and just go to these haunted locations, you know, whatnot, and learn and talk to other teens, you know, because
right.
I get so tired of being the second phone call after a client had already had a team in there, and
yep.
The team was either A, the purpose of just collecting evidence, and that's all they wanted to do, and they left the client high and dry,
yep.
Or B, they didn't know what they were doing whatsoever, and they made it just a mess spiritually
yep.
in that house. And then we have to go and clean it up.
Yeah. I've heard some crazy stories. The last crazy story I heard, there was a team that went in with, like, pixie dust, glitter, and was flinging glitter around, talking about fairies and stuff. And the homeowner kept her mouth shut, but wanted to laugh the entire time.
Did they have Tinkerbell with them?
I have no idea. But I if I was her, I'd have wanted to break out my video camera. I would have been videotaping that.
You know what? These young kids, though, I mean, you know, we all kind of started out somewhere. I think we all have background stories of, like, we were farting around with this when we were kids, weren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I was. I was doing, I tried out the Ouija board when I was 13 years old, spending the night at a girlfriend's house. She had, like, a really old wood one, and we went up in this attic. It was pretty creepy.
Yeah, I
bet. We were like, let's do it, you know? But it didn't work. But, you know, so I guess we kind of, you know, all have to get that fear put in us at first.
Yeah.
Get our feet wet, you know?
Yeah.
But they definitely, like, you know, there. I think there's so many people that don't, like, they don't read books. They don't, like, get the basics before they start it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
you know, like, when I got into it, I got into it because of Nathan. And I was like, all right, we're going to buy some books. I'll buy you a ghost hunting kit. We're going to freaking read the book. We're going to learn what it says. And we're going to do it like that. And then, like, we were dabbling around in the house and, like, immediately, like, shit hit the fan. And I was like, I shut everything down, put it away, and I said, we will never play in the house again. Okay?
Right.
Find us locations to, you know, get you comfortable where you need to be. And, you know, he's such a sweet ghost hunter, too. Like, a lot of females make contact with him and children.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to keep my fingers crossed. I actually called him today and never got a response back, but I'm still working on trying to get that hospital.
If I get that hospital
with all the friends that that we have in the community, you know, I want to even do some sort of training for anybody that's new to the paranormal, that has new teams that are willing to come in and listen and learn from some of the people that have been in the field for years, and try to get more of a consistency with new people coming in, you know, of giving them the tools that they need to, you know, because everybody, once you get the tools, then you kind of use them and you develop your own approach, your own ideas on how you as an investigator do things.
Right, exactly. And then teams, you know, every team has their own, you know, strong points, you know. Everybody does things pretty close to the same, but, you know, teams are a little bit different amongst themselves on how they handle things.
Yeah, that's why.
Just all freaking talk. I think to myself some days, why don't I ever see that person? That person says that they're a paranormal investigator, but yet I never, do they even have a YouTube account? Like, do they even put out evidence, you know? Do they even own a camera? They show up and they don't have any equipment. It's like,
how are you going to document
it? I'm calling
out
on that shit. I'm like, how are you a ghost hunter?
You have to have equipment. Have to.
Yeah.
When I was talking to Natalie on Sunday's show, because she does a lot of the conferences like Jody does, and she's like, yeah, I wish, you know, there was more conferences where the paranormal teams got something out of it, right? Because it's usually geared for the public, right? Because that's where the money comes. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, my conference this year we're doing exactly that. I said, I'm keeping the public out of the classrooms, and the classrooms are going to be used for teams to teach each other their own ideas and whatnot so that we all walk out of there, hopefully with new ideas and things that we want to try.
That would be great. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Your conference last year was good.
Oh, I'm topping that because we're having paranormal karaoke this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Kevin, are you going to break it down?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to break it down?
I don't know if I will or not. So I have to have
you
a liquid courage to do that. But I'm gonna be remain sober because I'm running the event.
So where is the paranormal karaoke going to be at? Is it going to be in the building that we were in last year?
No, it's going to be across the street in the bar or restaurant that's across the street.
Uh-huh.
They have a big outdoor. It's called the Backyard Bar is what it's called, and they have a huge stage. It's real nice back there, and we rented that out, and we got a guy that Will on my team. His dad does karaoke for weddings and whatnot, DJs. And so he's got the whole setup, and we're going to, instead of trying to investigate on that Friday night, we're just, as paranormal investigators and the speakers, we're all just going to gather and have fun that night.
That sounds great. It does. I mean, we need to unwind together, don't we?
Yeah. So I wanted an opportunity because, you know, I tried something by doing the investigation last year on Friday night, but I noticed because, you know, downtown Marshall is weird. It's in East Texas, but Marshall's bars, you can actually sit outside on the side. You know, you can have your alcohol outside the bar, right? And a lot of the investigators were seeing these bars, and they were happening, and I just saw them one by one and walking away from the investigation and going over to the bar. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I just do something like this year where they don't have to worry about it? We're all together.
Yes. That would be fun. It would.
That will be fun.
Yes. Yeah, I need to unwind, you know. I think it would be fun. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody doing paranormal karaoke before either. This will be a first.
Yeah.
Somebody will have to record it.
There'll probably be a lot of YouTube videos after that one.
Oh, I bet.
You need to get your buddy to do stickers on his nipples again.
Oh, Joseph. God. Yeah.
Yep, let him know I need a new video.
I'll let him know. I work with the boys, so I see him every day.
Yep, tell him I need a new nipple video, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah, speaking of crazy locations, Kathy, my team is, we're headed up to Arkansas in 2 weeks to...
Boonville?
Yeah. We're headed up there. Yeah.
Have you ever been there before?
Yeah, I've been there. I was there... last year with my team, with Larry Flaxman and his team, and I've never heard Larry cuss so much because, you know, Larry's kind of calm and cool, you know, and he's real got the skeptical scientific side about things.
Uh-huh.
But,
uh-huh.
Boy, when we were down in that basement and we tried something different, we split our past and unknown into boy-girl teams. So we sent all the girls to the third floor. And all the guys, we went to the basement. And
okay.
We were down in that basement, and we were walking way past all the haunted house stuff.
Uh-huh.
And got to this big open room where there's a bunch of, you know, crap everywhere. And
uh-huh.
We were getting little small pebbles thrown at us all over the place. It was like ding, 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 ding. We turn on our flashlight, and it would stop. We turn them back off and go dark, and I'll be damned if stuff wasn't thrown because we were looking to make sure somebody wasn't in the building, right?
Right.
And then we turned on, Larry turned on his flashlight and pointed it up, and the light bulb that's got the string hanging down from it was spinning like a fan.
Huh. Okay.
Larry was cussing, and I had the Ovilus, and it was the first time I had the Ovilus X, and the Ovilus X said, it hadn't said anything while we were down in the basement, and all of a sudden it said, DD. 2 seconds after it said, DD, you hear Amanda call down to Larry on the walkie, and you hear all these girls screaming. And we were like,
really?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
They were screaming?
So we ran up,
okay.
Yeah. We ran up to the third floor, and DD had gotten grabbed so hard that she had a whole entire handprint around her, wrapped around her arm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was weird how the Ovilus called out her name, and then she was the one that was grabbed.
Well, yeah, that is weird. Yeah, I've been in that building now 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 6 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. I love that building.
Yeah.
So it is an amazing place. And, you know, sometimes the activity just dies, you know, for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can put too many people in that building and the activity will kind of disperse. But the basement's real active. It's a really cool spot. Love the basement.
Well, that third floor, not only did Dee get grabbed, but later in the night, Dominique on my team got scratched on her neck, and it wasn't 10 minutes later that Amanda from our past got scratched.
Wow.
And they weren't leaning up against anything. They were standing in the middle of the hallway out there. And they were like, ow, something's on my neck. And they started rubbing. And, of course, you know, then it starts burning. And they walk up and bam, 3 scratches. I was like, oh, somebody doesn't like y'all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Larry, and see, all that activity start cranked up after Larry. He has this Tesla coil. It's huge. And he brought that Tesla coil out to second or third floor, put it in the hallway, and he cranked that baby on. And I'm telling you, man, you had to back up. There was so much EMF coming through.
Wow. So did it spike the activity?
Yes, it did. It stirred it up.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't played with a Tesla coil on an investigation yet. But...
Yeah.
You know, something that you can do is take, I can't even think, the device that you can shock other people with, you know?
Yeah.
A taser. You can tase the environment and produce a similar result. I saw that one time being done. That was really cool. It was really cool. I haven't bought a taser yet, but that was one of the things that I would like to do to add to my kit, you know?
I'd be scared to own one.
Yeah, you'd probably
well,
be tasing
like,
a lot of people.
Be like, yeah. I got a taser.
That's right. And I know how to use it, too.
I'm a good aim.
That's right. Yeah, people would have to be nicer.
Yeah.
Jody, I'll keep talking. I got a caller in the queue, so I got to see who this is.
All right. We'll see who that is. So, your production, your filming and stuff, how much longer are you going to work on the story?
I'm not sure because part of the story is unfolding, you know, as we're moving forward. So... I still have some interviews to do, and school's still in session. I need permission from the school to go inside because I want to get some footage inside the school. And the neat thing is my family is so interconnected with this story. I mean, my son went to school with her. My daughter goes to school at the same school. She should have graduated this year with my son, and she didn't graduate. I have video footage from his graduation where her name was called out on the stage, too, as somebody who should have been there to graduate. But, yeah. sad story. And,
yeah, it is.
I hope that she gets closure. You know, when I was at Jefferson, I spoke about it, and, you know, I was saying, you know, if because I have friends that are psychic, you know, I would really like it if anybody who's got any type of psychic ability at all could call me or email me or text me or whatever. I mean, somebody could even write an anonymous letter, send it through the pipe to me somehow, however they can get it to me, on what they think happened, you know, and 'cause the mom needs her home. So she wants her home however she can get her. You know,
wow.
She wants her daughter alive, though, but...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's some ties. Like, one of the things that I would like to do, there was a serial killer who happened to be in our area around the time frame that she was missing, and he killed multiple women and was convicted of their murders last year. It was like national news. I forget what his name is off the top of my head. But he pled guilty in Louisiana, and they don't have the death penalty there. So he's serving life. And her private detective went and talked to him. He thinks that he did it. He thinks that he's the one that did it. And that he's not talking, and he's not going to give any information whatsoever at all. And because if he does, Texas will extradite him. And we don't play in Texas at all. So he would be afraid, you know, that we would, you know, surpass that life in prison and he would be executed, you know. So,
yeah.
But I have not sat down with a private investigator and talked to him in really depth to find out exactly why he thinks he's the one that did it. But the mom, a couple weeks ago, she took a class on at a body farm where you go and you learn about decomposition and how to find a body in the field. And so she came back with that knowledge, which will help her to try to locate her daughter, too, because she's looking for her, however, you know. And part of searching for her is going into, like, these areas and, you know, going through the woods and looking at the ground and stuff. But that story from yesterday, though, pumped lots of hope into the mom. Yeah. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it happens, you know, all too often. And think of all the kids that aren't being found, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And Houston, where I live, is like a hub for human trafficking. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a possibility, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is so scary. Wow.
It is.
Johnny.
But I'd like to go I'd like to go talk to that guy in prison.
Yeah.
I'd like to go talk to him and see if I can get him, if I can get permission to talk to him on camera and see if I can get his reactions and stuff like that, which may or may not be included in the film. It just depends on if I think it's pertinent enough for me to put it in the film. So,
right.
But I've got a little bit left to work on things. Probably a couple more months. Yep.
Nice. Hey, Jody, we have a caller that has a couple questions for you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Should I be scared?
I don't know. Hello, caller.
Hello, my name's Daniel. How are you? Love the show.
Oh, hey, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, great. I just had a couple questions. Have you ever, I know you do a lot of paranormal investigating, have you ever had any, like, premonitions, like before you went to a place, or is there any place out there that you would refuse to go to investigate?
Me personally?
Yeah, you personally.
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't refuse to go anywhere.
Well, what about like premonitions? Like, have you ever like went into a place and been like got a, like such a sick feeling that you didn't want to go in?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, I have, and I've actually dreamed about locations before I've been there and dreamed about the rooms, And then I'll walk in the room and, you know, it comes back to the dream that I had months before. And I didn't even know I was going to be going to this location at that time. So, yeah.
So kind of like deja vu.
Yeah.
Okay. I had an experience whenever I was a young boy. I was doing a Ouija board with my cousin, and I actually, my little cousin and I, we conjured up so many spirits that we put our fingers underneath of the oracle and had it levitate. Have you ever had any kind of experience like that when doing a Ouija board? Have you ever had the oracle actually levitate? But you put your fingers under it, but it gets lighter and lighter, and anybody who knows has messed with a Ouija board knows that, you know, it's just, you know, like sort of like the stiff as a board, light as a feather thing, but we actually had it lift up. Have you ever had any kind of experience like that?
No, I never have had anything. Well, okay, I mean, where am I? Okay, I guess, yes, I have. I have seen things fly across rooms, yes.
Okay.
An iPhone. I saw an iPhone get lifted up off the table and got thrown about 6 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been, you know, watching your Facebook and everything, and I'm a fan, and I was wondering, do you ever plan on going back to Howard Stern?
You're freaking hilarious.
Well, I watched the episode. It was anybody that's ever seen the episode, it's totally hilarious, and, you know, you're such a really good personality, and, you know, I don't know if that's an off-color question, but, you know, it's out there, so I just figured I would ask you.
I say, never say never.
That's true.
All your cards, you know.
That's true. That's true. And I have one more question. I apologize if we talk too much. Like, you know, I've noticed a lot about in the paranormal, like women, you know, it's mainly a male-dominated field, and I wonder what you see for the future of women in paranormal.
Would you like to answer this?
Anyone can answer it. I'm just very curious because, you know, you have your Zach Baggins and you have your Honda Collector, and it's mostly, you know, male dominated. You have your female sidekicks, you know what I mean, if that's what you want to call them, but it's mainly a male, you know, character. And I personally would like to see a female lead, you know, because honestly, you know, I've been watching your YouTube videos and everything. It seems, you know, you get the most reaction. I mean, you've got some crazy videos out there. I mean, I don't want to call them crazy, but, you know, you really get results, you know, by, you know, provoking, and you're really tapped into it. So, you know, I just wonder what you see. Do you see, like, evolution, or, I mean, what do you think about that? Anybody wants?
Bitches breaking down walls all the time.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
In the real world, there's lots of women. They're just not all over TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I meant for TV.
They're not being recognized.
You know, there are plenty of female paranormal experts, but, you know, they're not recognized. And I just, you know, the question was, you know, the future of women in paranormal, like, you know, as far as, you know, TV and, you know, because, you know, I've looked at you men investigators, women investigators, and the women really know how to, it seems like the, you know, the entities, poltergeists, whatever you want to call them, really respond to women.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess that's all my question. Just thank you all so much. Love your show. Love you, Jody. Love everybody. And
thank you, Daniel. That's it.
All right. Well, have a great night, everybody.
You're from Riot, by the way.
What's that?
You're
Say
from
what?
Riot. You're hilarious.
All right. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah. Yes, there's lots of women in the field. Lots.
I wish the producers
would pay more attention to the women, but I think it's guys, you know, that are holding the money in Hollywood and stuff, and so they're the ones that are, like, figuring out who's going to be doing what, and they're looking for, like, that rock star male evil persona, you know?
right.
type person, yes.
And that's, you know, of course we have male paranormal investigators that come on the show, but I have been going through the Rolodex of people in the paranormal field that are women, and me and Jody have had a lot of women on this show, you know, just to give them the recognition that they deserve and in what they do. You know, my girls on my team, they're just absolutely wonderful, and, you know, they do a ton of stuff for me, you know, and
yeah.
You know, and it's just a shame, you know, it's not highlighted on television, but in the real world, the women, you know, there's locations where us guys can go in and we're not going to get jack crap, and a woman will go in there, and especially if it's a child spirit, they're going to cling on to a girl, you know, a woman,
yeah.
because of
yeah.
that mother figure, you know, and you guys got something that us males don't have.
Right. Right.
Emotion.
Well, yes.
You carry the emotion. You guys bring the logic.
Right.
Right.
But here's the thing. Women are learning the logic, you know?
Yeah.
You guys can't just turn on emotion.
Right. And that's
wired different.
That's why it was so cool Sunday when I had Natalie on our show, because Martin, him and Jeremy do a lot of, you know, building of equipment. And, of course, Natalie has a background in computer science. Her counterpart is an engineer. And these two women are building equipment for the paranormal field. They have a laboratory and, you know, just amazing stuff that they're doing. And Martin was just floored. He was just like, holy crap, this woman is smart, you know, and she's building equipment. But you never hear that.
Right. Well, I think that kind of people have stereotypes in their minds, even in the paranormal, when it comes to women and men. Men are like fearless, gonna go into the house and take control and provoke, and women are gonna run scared, and you know.
God, I've heard that a million times.
Yeah.
I come here with, you're gonna end up leaving tonight. I'm like.
That's right. They're the ones that'll leave
before
me.
How about this? Leave me inside all by myself, and I don't care. I can handle myself, like, all night. In fact, lock me down all week. I'm alive.
Yeah.
Give me food in a bucket.
Yes. I'm like that, too. That's funny.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Hopefully one day the stereotypes will be broken down. You know, aren't you going to have a show come out, Jody?
A show?
Yes, a show on TV.
Huh? I have so much going on, I can't, like, I don't even know. It's everywhere.
Okay.
It's fucking everywhere. But it's all like, you know, you never know with stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And I look at it like this. Adventures are coming into my life. And I just look at them like adventures. I don't look at them like, are they going to do well? Does it really matter? No, because it's about the experience.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, I do have a lot of stuff going on, but it's just going to, you know, it's being built, and so.
Right. And I'm all about the experience, too, you know. It's not
necessarily
going after an outcome for anything. It's enjoying yourself while things are happening. So.
Yeah. Well, the Queen of Earth, I don't know if you know about that crazy bitch, but that's me. do you know about her?
I think I heard something about her.
Okay. She's just another piece of me. But yeah, she's getting ready to work on a big project, and you know, it's like having that, like, I have a whole nother life. I have my whole Guinness family. And, I get weird opportunities that just pop up, and people are like, oh, so can you do this with your burps? And then blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, it's an adventure. It's like, let's do it. What the heck? What do I have to lose? And while I'm there doing that, well, I'm going to go ahead and tie on my paranormal a little bit.
That's
over
right.
here. But I'm actually, so I was supposed to go at the end of this month to Vegas, then L.A. And the Queen of Burps is recording all kinds of crazy stuff. With
right.
a legend on top of that, okay? And this legend, he says that his house is haunted and he has been visited by aliens, and he is going to give me his full story. And then there's this other lady while I'm there who was the body double for Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a story, I guess, about Marilyn Monroe's ghost that she had an experience with.
So cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're both going to give me their stories, and, you know, they're going to let me investigate their houses where they have
wow, that's
experiences.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's
but,
fun.
You know,
yeah.
I try to, you know, incorporate adventure. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that I do have 6 episodes that I will be shooting for.
Right.
But I don't think I start shooting that for about 6 months.
Okay.
So sometimes I get far ahead, you know?
Right.
Like, it'll be like 6 months from now, we're going to do this. And it's like, okay.
Right.
I'm game.
Right.
But I just got to ask you, while I was in L.A., to be a part of some reality show, too. And I'm like, huh? They're like, you're gonna do a photo shoot with this famous photographer, and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, huh? So now I got to start working out. I got to pull my thoughts together. I'm like, shit. That's when you, you know, start looking in the mirror going, shit.
You can do it. It's
gotta
going to be fun.
Get some putts.
Yeah. I remember the last time I went to L.A., I'm at the hotel, and as soon as I'm at the hotel, I thought, where am I at? I am right around the corner from the Entity House. And so I went to the desk, and I'm like,
really?
So what's this neighborhood like? Is this a good neighborhood for me to walk in or what? He's like, well, yeah, you're fine here, but, you know, there's certain parts of L.A. you'd want to stay out of. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I had the address. I plugged it into my phone, and I walked it. It was 2 miles. And, you know, I have my good camera, and I get there, and I'm all excited, and I'm taking pictures of the house. And then I realize I'm probably not in a really good area of L.A., and here I am with a really good camera. So I'm flipping my sweater over the top of it, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to, like, do low profile all the way back. But
you're going to be a drive-by shooting.
Yes, it was a drive-by shooting. And there were little rocks on the ground there that I happened to kick around, and I'm like, rocks from the Entity House. So I pick them up, and I put them in my pocket. So I get to the hotel, and I've got these rocks, and I took a picture of them, and I sent it to my husband because I wanted him to see, hey, I got something. So, and then I didn't know if the airplane was going to let me bring my little rocks on. It's like, what are they going to think these little things are? So, but I was able to get on the airplane, so I have a few rocks in my house from in front of the Entity House.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
It is. It was an adventure. It was fun.
I'm going to have to send you, well, I got a photo album, Jody, from a place that Natalie and her team went to in L.A., and she said that place, and it's a functioning hotel, and they investigated that, and she said that place affected her and her team for days afterwards, just drained and activity going on around them, and she said that place just creeped her the hell out, and she don't get creeped out.
Hmm. Where was Hotel California?
Yeah. Yeah, this is in L.A. It's called the Cecil Hotel, C-E-C-I-L,
okay,
Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to hook up with some of the girls that we've interviewed on the show that live in L.A. And, you know, I was thinking about hooking up with that wrestler, the professional wrestler. And getting Laura Calhoun. Because I don't know about you, but I have a lot of problems with other women in the paranormal field being bitches to me. And, you know, I just think we need a fundraiser, a tag team, you know, fundraiser where women can just come together, they can form their team, and we can beat the fuck out of each other, you know? Screw it. For money, you know? We'll get out our frustrations and... So anyways, Kevin and I, we interviewed a professional wrestler, and I thought, oh, my God, Laura and I could get her, go to her gym wherever, she does her moves, have her teach us some stuff, and we could film us tag teaming, like, have her spinning me around, and my quick feet are like Jackie Chan, like.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be great. Yes. Laura would love
if
that.
If I do it, that would be so hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah.
I love being crazy.
You know, Kevin Bryan, it keeps hounding me about me trying to put in a paranormal paintball event at my conference, and I'm like, there's just no time for it. But, yeah, if we had a paintball competition – some people would be getting shot up.
Yes.
That would be pretty fun. That would be
it
really
would.
Fun.
Yeah.
It would. Glow in the dark, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the woods, too. Like in the woods. Like let the teams loose on different sides of the forest, and they have to go into it, like, you know, and set up their plan. Up there, get up there, you know.
Yeah, there's the perfect spot in that area, too, because there's that haunted stagecoach road up there.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys that's speaking at our conference, Brandon Garrett, I don't know if you've ever talked with him or met him. He lives in Conroe, and his whole family, they Bigfoot hunt. He was on our show last week. He was actually calling from an invest Bigfoot hunt out in the woods in that area down there. There's a location down there that just has all kinds of Bigfoot activity.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. I told him I was going to have to take him up here to Stagecoach Road because we've had not only paranormal activity on that road, but we've had some Bigfoot stuff going on.
Wow. That is cool. And no, I have not yet got to meet him yet. I do not think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
and I have not got to go on a Bigfoot hunt yet either. That's another thing on my list of things to do.
He's going to do one. I told him, I told my team the other day when we had a meeting, I said, check this out. I got us a Bigfoot hunt. And they're like, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, What's so funny is Brandon, like I told him, I said, because he's bringing his team. It's not just, you know, with Ken and some of the other guys that are cryptozoologists, this them. But he's got an entire Bigfoot team. And I wanted to do a Bigfoot hunt out at Caddo Lake because there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings out there. And have that as part of the event, but what's funny is the Bigfoot hunters, they want to go in all the buildings with us. They want to go on a paranormal investigation, and all the paranormal investigators, we want to go on a Bigfoot hunt.
That's right. That's right. But it's because what we do every day, you know, we want to do something fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mix it up a little bit. But yeah, I live the Woodlands area is borders on, you know, Conroe is the next town. And it's right here next to the Sam Houston National Forest, and there is a lot of reports of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lots of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, what do you got going on coming up What are you working on?
Well, outside of the documentary, just lots of cases. We're like booked up for several months. I think it's all residential cases, actually, too.
Wow.
So, yeah, our group usually mostly does residentials, and, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, please, let's do something historical, you know? So
yeah.
If
it's so funny because it seems like you guys down in Texas, you guys have a lot of residential cases.
Yeah.
Here in St. Louis, I swear to God, like, nobody wants to talk about it. People will say, what's your favorite place in St. Louis? It's like, I can't even ghost hunt in this town, okay?
Really?
Like, no. I mean, people are just, like, really, like, they don't want to let ghost hunters into their locations of places that have been, you know, put out there. We have the Lint Mansion.
Right. Right.
That's as far as it goes. But as far as, like, cases, I don't hear of too many of them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's really...
No, there was one time the most that I've ever been booked was 4 days a week. 4 days a week, every week. And then people are calling, and there was a time when I was booked almost a year in advance, and it's like, okay, no, I can't do this, you know. So, and it wasn't that I was booked 4 days a week for a year in advance. It was I'm booked every weekend, and then I have people still calling that are local. So I'm throwing emergencies in the middle of the week, you know, and then we were really getting burnt out bad, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody calls me and they claim they have a child that's levitating and or being scratched and stuff like that, and right away, you know, we want to help. But, you know, we have day jobs and lives outside the paranormal. So you have to kind of balance everything.
I just wonder if it's like more like, you know, studies really not being documented on how much activity is going on, like, in our country, like, across it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there more in certain areas? Like, I think Iowa is really, like, it's one of those states where there's just a lot of jacked up history.
Right.
And, you know, really crazy people.
Right. Oklahoma is like that, too.
Yeah.
No man's land, Indians, wars, all kinds of stuff up there. So,
yeah. I've noticed down here, though, in Texas, all the residential cases I know that we've handled, it's not necessarily dealing with the history of Texas or any of that. It's dealing with the family environment, the family makeup, what's going on in the home. And, you know, I think that's why we, you know, you and I, Kathy, had a lot of cases called because of different aspects of what's going on in a family, whether or not they're dabbling in something or whether or not there's, you know, a lot of arguing and fighting and all that fuel that can fuel these things up. And, you know, so I think what's really weird, you know, when I started this team, being in East Texas and kind of we call it the Bible Belt, with the amount of churches that we have in the area. And surprisingly, we get a lot of calls. Right now, we're kind of – I'm working, of course, with the case in Dallas still, but right now we're kind of been in a lull here, you know, and then all of a sudden, bam, my phone will just go nonstop with people calling, you know. And we'll have two,
that
three,
happens with
four
us, too.
Cases. Yeah.
That happens with us, too, when I think, oh, we're going to get a break and we're going to be able to do some historical stuff, and then, boom, here comes more calls, you know. Yeah. And we don't just go one time to a place, you know. We go back, you know. You got to go back in and out of a place to document what's going on. And we also do cleansings, too. So we try to help the family as much as we can. And I get calls all the time. I have one guy that calls me still for 3 solid years. He's called me almost every day. And, yep, so we just chat, you know, about everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I'm definitely into the service end of things on my end.
Yeah, I squeeze in once a month. We go to some historical, you know, place, whatnot, to kind of break the monotony of, you know, helping people all the time. Because, yeah, it takes a toll on you emotionally and physically. You know, it just wears you out.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
But
it does.
I will say this. It's well worth it every time if in the end you help them. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing it for, you know, not just, well, we're doing it to help people, but we're also doing it to, you know, really have a complete, full understanding of the paranormal,
and,
too.
And hopefully all the stuff that Unknown's doing this year with the experimental things that we're doing and testing, because we're going backwards a little bit and testing different things that we would come across in a residential case, right? Elements, fire, water, those kind of things, earth, rock. And if we get more results and get more knowledge, like I told the team, the more knowledge that we gain from doing this will help not only us, but other teams help clients. And that's where we've gone with our ideas this year.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Now where can folks find y'all if they want to read more about y'all or contact y'all or any of that?
Well, they can find us at woodlandsparanormal.com. And I have a blog. If they want to log on to my blog, it's hauntedchef.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Kathy Nance or Haunted Chef. And we also have a Facebook page, Woodlands Paranormal. And they can call me. If they log on to Woodlands Paranormal, my telephone number's on there, and that is my telephone number. So, yep. I debated that for a long time. Do I put my number out there? Yes. And then people were like, no, you can't do that. And then I'm like, no, I got to put it out there.
My phone number is on the website, on my business cards, everything.
Yep.
So
when
they
call us. They look you up online and they want to call right then and there. They don't want to wait, and that's might be part of the reason why we get so many cases, because we'll get people say, well, you know, we've contacted three or four teams and you're the only person that's contacted us back. Like, really?
Yeah. They get real surprised with me, because if they call me and say I'm at work or whatnot, something's going on, and I'll get their voicemail, as soon as I hear that voicemail, I call them back. And it's usually pretty quick. And they're just like, wow, I wouldn't expect you to call me back right then. I said, well, that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I know there are other people, too, that are out there that are really quick about responding, you know. I remember I had a case not long ago in Arkansas. A woman called. It was an emergency. She needed somebody, like, now. So I got off the phone with her, and I'm like, okay, well, who do I know in that area? So I'm listing off the people that I know. So I picked up the, you know, I emailed people and called people, and the only person of all those people to contact me back was Larry Flaxman. So Larry was ready to do it, wanted the number and everything. So he was good. He was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can recommend him to, you know, be on the ball with things in that area. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kathy. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And in October.
Good luck. Good luck with your filming, and, you know, when you get it done and you want to plug it and you're out there plugging it, contact Kevin and come back on the show.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that. I had fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye, Kathy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right.
Oh my God.
What?
My allergies are kicking in so bad right now. My eyes are like,
They're unhappy. I had to go to the eye doctor last week because I remember I had that eye infection in the fall last year. So I started to get like a little blister on my eyeball. And I went to the eye doctor, and I was convinced that I was going to be blind. I was going to be a one-eyed ghost hunter. Of course I'm going to think the worst. I'm losing, like, it was making my eyes, you know, blurry in the one eye. So he said that I have really bad allergies. He gave me, like, steroids for my eyes. But he gave me an eye exam, and even with me thinking that I was going to be the one-eyed ghost hunter, I have 20/15 vision.
Wow.
Yeah. So he gave me a ward.
I forgot to even ask Kathy if she was still working for Laura, because she was doing, was a booking agent as well for Resurrection.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know. She didn't, like, say anything when I brought up Laura.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. With her being so busy, I don't know if she – I know she was doing it at one time. She may have gotten so overwhelmed that she's not doing it anymore, but I don't know. I didn't ask her, so I'll find out.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she is a big sweetheart, and I hope that her film does well. That's really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I like to surround myself with good peeps.
You love to surround us with women.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that either.
No, there's not. We're just batshit crazy, you know?
I.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Well, see, next. Next week we have Christina George, psychic medium, will be on the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like her. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. She's a sweetheart. I talked to her before, and we will have her on the show next Tuesday. On Sunday, Mother's Day, I don't know if I will ask when I'll be calling into my show on Sunday, because I'll be having dinner with my mom. But we have Monica Rollins out of Dallas, Fort Worth. She's a Bigfoot hunter.
Nice.
Yeah. So next Sunday we're going to talk some Bigfoot. And tomorrow, let's see, today's Tuesday. Tomorrow, tune in for Dennis and Matt on Full Spectrum Radio. And I believe I'll have to check to see if Sarah is still going to be on, but Sarah Labrie might be joining as well tomorrow night. And Thursday is Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Justin and Kevin. And Friday is Paranormal Access Radio with Chris Taylor. So that's the lineup for the week. And that's pretty much it. I think after my numerous messages to Blog Talk, they finally at least got our stuff together.
Yeah.
But, like I said, Sunday on the show, at some point, we probably will move to our own little thing. So, once we figure that out, we'll get going on that, and then we'll be able to add as many shows we want and get as many listeners as we can.
There you go.
All right, so I get to play us out tonight, huh?
Oh, snap. You better do something good. Give it your best.
Well,
and don't give me no freaking Neil Diamond and shit.
You played that last week.
I know.
If I can get my
getting the groove, you know, like of
You want groove? Is that what you're wanting? You want groove?
Yeah, yeah. So it makes you boogie.
Makes you boogie.
I want to see you boogie.
Boogie. Well, we'll just play this kind of on the same as our intro, but different, same artist, different song.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Everybody have a good night, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Good night.
www.blogtalkradio.com.